Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears!
Twenty minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, my guy, UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. Coach, it's been too long, my friend. Always love when our paths can cross and we can get you on the program.
Brady, what's going on, man? No, it has been too long. It's been too long, and funny, things are starting to, I wouldn't say slow down, but normalize a little bit over here. We just had graduation on Saturday, and I think our roster is filled, you know, recruiting-wise. We finally got that done. We can talk about portals or whatever you want to talk about, but it's been a little bit of a new deal. But, yeah, it's been a stressful spring. I'm not going to lie to you, man, but it's starting to slow down, so we'll have to connect here soon.
Yeah, no question about it. There's just so much going on in the world of college sports. And on top of everything that always goes on, I always kid with you, Coach, and any of the coaches we bring on the program, I'm like, I don't know. Do you have to have an assistant keep the schedules for you? Like, when you know the recruiting trail, it changes every year. You can talk to the guys now, but you can't talk then, but you can talk tomorrow. I mean, it seems like it changes every single year.
Well, what you know, in that world, one thing that's nice from the NCAA is they do send out these calendars, and they're color coded.
Nice.
And hey, if it's red, you can't go out, and if it's green or blue, you're probably okay. And so, you know, you kind of understand once you've been through a few cycles, kind of what the flow of that is. But yeah, there's just so many things, and I do think that like this spring things changed so much because, for instance, there was 2 weekends. For spring recruiting where you could go watch like AAU teams, right? And those are really important weekends because season's over. You're starting to watch maybe still some available kids, but also really starting to focus in on those kids that will be seniors the following year. So just trying to catch up and learn more about those focused kids. It changed this year just in the sense of with the transfer portal and everyone trying to sign guys, a lot of staffs, including ours, those 2 weekends, again, it's just 2 weekends. It's 2.5 days. We only had half of our staff out on both those weekends because on both those weekends, I stayed back and one of our assistants would stay back as well for on-campus official visits. That makes sense. So we only covered half the territory that we usually would because we're out there trying to sign guys. And I know that we were not the only ones. A lot of teams, some teams didn't send anybody out in the spring. It really hurts those high school players when they're not seen, right? So it's a goofy deal for sure.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how you guys do it, keeping, yeah. Especially after COVID, reestablishing that new schedule and everything too.
Yeah.
But so talk to us, Coach. Can you give our listeners some insight of what that recruiting trail has looked like this offseason? Because I know it's important every single year, but I know some key players moving on, maybe testing out the next level or what have you. So I know this was a key offseason for you.
Yeah, no, it's been a good offseason recruiting-wise, and really it kind of goes all the way back to last summer with those older guys that, you know, that could graduate, could go pro, could, you know, anyone could go in the portal. But just, you know, talking to those guys and saying, okay, what do you think you're going to do, you know, when the season's over? And this is back to last summer. And talking to those guys and trying to figure out, okay, what do you think the plan is? Obviously things can change, but it really helped out, you know, for instance, you know, Coor John Cooch, who did go in the portal and is going to Temple as a transfer. You know, Coor's like, hey, look, Coach, I'm going to graduate in spring. What the degree that he wants for a master's, he wants to get his master's, we do not have. And so we can't create a degree out of nowhere. So he was very honest that he wanted to do that. Coor had professional opportunities where he could just, you know, foregone doing the master's route, but the degree is really important to him. So we knew that. So it helped us in the sense of saying, okay, what are we going to do recruiting, factoring, and the Coor's not going to be here. And really the same thing with Bodie Hume that, you know, Bodie's another guy. Both those guys have been here 4 years. Bodie's a relatively local guy. We all know him. And say, okay, Bodie, what do you think at the end of the year? And at the end of the year, you know, it wasn't so much about, you know, portals and masters and things like that. It was more so like, hey, I want to go pro, man. I got my degree done. I want to start trying out the next thing in life. So we knew for him, again, going all the way back last summer that he probably was going to be gone and going to the professional world without the intention to come back. And he's doing that. He's in the professional world, and he's already doing training and some really, really cool things. So we knew that with him too. Matt Johnson, same conversation. Matt said, hey, I'm coming back for a sixth year. I want to get my master's done. I got one more year left. I'm coming back. So we knew that with Matt. We can go through the whole roster, but having those conversations really saved us a lot of time, frustration, heartache. And to be honest, when you look at our roster, of our guys who were playing a lot of minutes, you know, the only one that got in the portal was Coor, you know, because Bodie did not get in the portal. He went professional. Drew Cuxhausen was out of eligibility. He used his COVID year to play with us this year. So we didn't have the, you know, seven of your top nine guys go in the portal and you're decimated. We didn't have that. So we did lose a good chunk. But at the same point, recruiting-wise, we kind of knew that going into it. We signed a couple of really good high school kids in the fall, Langston Reynolds and Brock Wisney, two local Colorado kids I think will be terrific players. And then in the springtime, a little bit more recently, Caleb Shaw. Caleb Shaw was the guy we recruited in the fall. He was not ready to sign in November. But luckily, we stuck with it, and he committed in about January, February, and then signed when he could in April. And Caleb Shaw is a kid from Phoenix that's really good. Really has a chance to be a good player. So those three high school kids, and then like the actual late spring recruiting, all we had left was two spots. We signed Juju Ramirez, who played at New Hampton Prep School in New Hampshire this year, but he's from Lawrence, Kansas, and he is Zach Block's childhood best friend when they were like 6 years old.
Wow.
So Juju's got a chance to be really good, and he's really young. He's only 17 years old. He elected to not do a post-grad year at his prep school, and that's where we got involved with him. And then we just signed, and we can finally talk about it, Riley Abercrombie, who is a grad transfer out of the transfer portal from Rice University. And then we think he's got a chance to be a really good player. He's got 2 years left, but he's been in college for 4 years. And he's I think, going to be a guy that will really help fill the bill with Bodie gone. He's about a 6'9", skilled forward that could play a 4 and could even play a 5 if we needed to. But really good player.
Wow. And Coach, how many, and I want to go back on some of those guys too, like Coor, because yeah. I do think it's important for listeners and people paying attention to the transfer portal, because I think in this day and age, people see transfer portal and they just assume the worst right off the bat. They go, oh, that kid's not liking the environment, or that coach isn't liking that kid. And as you just mentioned, well, with Coor, who's the only one that really that entered the portal, it's because the degree's not offered. And I've heard that a lot of times with student athletes. So I think it's important to do your due diligence on that side before you view everything about the transfer portal. And as you mentioned, Bodie wants to test out his next level ability. Cuxhausen was out of eligibility, and obviously we know Dalen's, you know, just kind of utilizing the NBA draft as a measuring stick right now to see where he stacks up. So I do think that that's all worth mentioning, and I'm glad you brought all that up.
No, it's really important because, you know, every case in the portal, and there is some, you know, people come out and say the portal is the worst thing and the kids aren't loyal, and that's not true. I mean, sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's coaches, then you throw in the NIL. There's a million ways to look at it, but like, yeah, going back to the degree thing, really in our situation, you know, with a guy like Coor and Bodie, they've played 4 years, and they played 4 years here, and they've stayed loyal for 4 years, and they've got their degree, which is the most important thing. And so if they would have came back, which we would have loved for them too, but that would have been a bonus. I think, you know, it's like this. The school I went to in college, Division II school, Northern State University, they had the most phenomenal class last year. Kids were there for 4 years. They won 4 league championships, 4 tournament championships, lost in the national championship in Division II. And at the end of that, after winning 8 championships in 4 years, which is as good as you can do, they got their free COVID year, and almost all of them left. In the town that I was in, it was a complete panic. Like, what's wrong with the program? What's going on? Well, they've done everything they could do in the same place for 4 years. They all graduated. They have the chance to move on if they want to. And I think, like, you go to Coor, like when it turns into the degree, that's when you talk about the grad transfers, right? Like, Coor was going to graduate. He did his job and graduated in 4 years, which is not easy to do as a student athlete. He was such a good student that he created the opportunity for him to work on his master's, and we don't have the right degree. And that's fine. It's just part of what it is. So, yeah, that's the case. And, again, it's not always the kids. It's not always the coaches. Sometimes, too, you have those end-of-the-year meetings, which have happened, you know, for the last 50 to 100 years in all levels of basketball, kids can come in and say, coach, you know, what do you see my role next year? Like, hey, I don't see you having a big role at all just because, you know, player A, B, and C is ahead of you and you probably won't play, and they get in the portal. That's not a kid's fault or the coach's fault. That's just honesty of it. And so I think you have all that, all those different dynamics going on, and you can see it in all the different schools within our region that people follow, whether it's, you know, us, CSU, Wyoming, CU. I mean, you can go down the line with, you know, people on the outside and say, well, why did all those kids leave or this or that? It's just a different deal. I think it starts all the way from the NBA, and these players are changing teams every 2 years. And when our players are, you know, going through, you know, middle school, high school, AAU stuff, they're changing teams a lot. Not to say it's right or wrong, but they see it from the pros. I mean, look at Durant, look at LeBron, look at all these different guys. And so many guys are moving teams so often that it's very rare to have a Steph Curry that's with the Warriors or Giannis with the Bucks. And, you know, people can have their opinions of what's right or wrong, but these kids, these are their idols, and they see them moving, and that's just kind of the nature of it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too. We're talking to Coach Steve Smiley of the UNC Bears, and I want to talk about the camp coming up just sure. For a couple of weeks. We'll get to that. Real quickly, though, Coach, on those players that you mentioned, how many of those guys do you know, can our listeners say, hey, these are going to be instant impact players as soon as next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you start with, you know, what do you got coming back? And obviously the big question mark is Daylen.
Right.
And I think Daylen's the best player in the league. And you know, he's in the process right now. He's training down in Phoenix and working on his opportunities. And his agency, they'll have a pro day at the end of May. And it'll go all the way through May. You just have to pull out of the draft before June 1st. So really, we're just going to have to sit back and wait on his situation through the month of May. But again, when you're the 10th leading scorer in the country and all the things he's done, like, he's earned the opportunity to test those waters. I'm really excited for him. So, assuming he's back, though, you know, if you got Matt Daylen, I think we have the best backcourt in the league.
Yeah.
Dalton Connect, who's had a good year for his first year, he got hurt middle of the year, and that slowed him for a while, but Dalton's had a great spring. You got three of your probably, you know, top six guys minute-wise that have really produced. And then you got these four guys that have all had limited but really important roles, and that would be, you know, Zach Block, Bryce Kennedy, Theo Hughes, and Jamel Melvin. And you really have seven of your top 10 guys back, and so I'm really excited about that. So you start in-house, and you say, okay, what else do we need? And so of these new guys, obviously we believe that Riley Abercrombie, who we just signed from Rice, we believe that he's going to have an immediate instant impact. He just fits the bill. He's big. He can really shoot it. The way that he's played in college is the way that we play, with the way that we kind of use him offensively. And when he visited, just his maturity is like off the charts. And just all that stuff. So I think that Riley's going to be an impact guy day one. And then you got four freshmen that are really, really talented, really good. You know, Caleb Shaw, Langston Reynolds, Juju Ramirez, and Brock Wisney. And I don't have the crystal ball as to who will be the one or ones that will step up. But I do believe that we'll need two of those four guys to have an impact. And they're all guys that can play various positions. They're not jammed into like, well, he's just a point guard or he's just a five. These are, you know, multi-positional players that we can move around. But I do believe that we need two of those four guys to have an impact for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this group. And again, I think a lot of listeners are just pumped to hear some of those names that, you know, are returning, as you mentioned, especially those the big three with, well, and again, we'll see what happens with Daylen.
Yeah.
But Daylen, Matt Johnson, Dalton Connect for sure. But I'm excited to see this team in action. You guys are going to be in some action coming up in a few weeks, Coach, with your big camps coming up, your development camps, June 6th through the 8th with your player development, and then mid-June, June 13th through the 15th, shooting and scoring.
Yep, no, those are really big for us. They're fun. They're local camps. I'm glad you brought that up, Brady. You know, we start, our guys get back. Our new guys come in like June 1st, give or take, and then all these returns come back June 4th, June 5th, and camp season starts June 6th. So they get back, and we get right into it. And I love the kids' camps. Like I said, the player development camps, June 6th through 8th, and then the shooting scoring is June 13th to 15th. And I just think they're really good for you know, the majority of the kids are local kids, whether they're Greeley, Windsor, Fort Collins, you know, Loveland, just that this northern Colorado area is where the kids come from. They're a lot of fun. 3 days, 9 to 1. They're not overnight camps. They're just, you know, get in, get out, have some fun. We work. We definitely work. But I think that that the kids have a blast. Our guys work the camps. Our guys are going to be there. They're really hands on. They have stations and teams and all that stuff. Our coaches are all involved. And I just, you know, when I was brought up as a kid, those are some of my fondest memories. And then when I was a college player, when I played for Don Meyer, the great UNC alum, he was the camp guru. And so we were doing camps all summer long. And you just got that kind of embedded into your DNA, just the importance of them. So I'm really excited. We try to keep the cost down. It's only $150 per camp. If kids do both camps, it drops to a total of $250, not $300. And I think, you know, as I watch my own kids with how expensive youth sports and camps and travel teams are, I think it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
We're certainly not, you know, trying to take too much, just enough to pay the bills and get our players paid and things like that. But it's just fun to be around the kids and really start the summer off right.
And coach, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up in my youth and in high school, summer camps and basketball was so much fun. You just loved it. But it was so much more than that, too. Just the experiences to get out. I'll never forget when I was really young. This is when you knew I was bad. I won the most improved. I got a trophy. I still have it, coach.
Hey, that's impressive.
I don't want to keep winning that award. At some point, you stop wanting to win the most improved. But I'll tell you what, it meant so much to me. And we had college coaches and college players there, and it's to this day I remember vividly all those stories, and I just think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing for this area.
Well, it makes me think of two things, Brady. First of all, it's like, you know, you might have been like Ja Morant, where, you know, Ja got the most
exactly.
improved. There's a lot of issues with that. It's like, wait a second, he's already a superstar. So you might have already been a superstar.
I think so. I do find myself comparing myself to Ja Morant a little bit.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
And then I think too, like, you know, just those memories. I can still remember about 4 years ago, my kid was about, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and somehow he surged his way to the finals of the infamous Iceman competition, which is a highly intense free throw competition with all, it would be about 100 campers.
Wow.
He got down to the bitter end, and he choked his guts out. He missed the free throws. He lost. And so he stormed off in tears. I'll never forget Jordan Davis walking over and consoling him and just hanging, man. JD has a good feel for human beings. But again, he'll probably never forget that memory of all the random memories. So they're fun, man. I mean, we have a lot of fun with the kids and a lot of ways to compete, but put a smile on your face too, because that's what's most important.
I mean, yeah, you got Jordan Davis who's doing it at that high level too, and for him to talk to these kids, take them aside, whatever. I mean, that's just an awesome thing that not every basketball camp has. There's basketball camps all over the place. Not all of them have really exceptional D1 basketball players there that are really good people too, helping them along the way.
No, like, you know, a guy like JD or, you know, Jonah Radabaugh. I mean, he was very involved in. You think about these new guys, Bodie and Corey. And then obviously now, you know, a guy like Matt or Dalen pulling you aside and showing you their favorite move. And then, you know, fast forward a year or two later, and maybe you're watching those guys on TV playing professionally. It's pretty cool. So, and that's why we want our guys to be highly involved in those things for sure.
All right, Coach, let our listeners know where do they go again? If they're listening, maybe they know of somebody that might want to get involved. How do they get more information?
Million ways to do it. SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com. You can register there. So, again, that's plural, SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com. You can go to our UNC Athletic website, which is UNCBears.com, and we have the actual PDF flyer on there where you can print that off and mail in a check. If you just need more information, just email me. And my email is on the website, too, but it's really simple. It's just Steve.Smiley. I'll say it again, Steve.Smiley@unco.edu. So email me. I'm happy to help out, and our whole staff is. And love to see as many kids, you know, kids in there as possible and get it rocking and rolling.
Yeah, well, I'll be sure to reshare and get that out there as well.
Cool.
All right, one more for you, Coach. Speaking of staff, want to congratulate one of your guys, Corey Faringer. Love that guy.
Yeah.
You promoted him to associate head coach and director of performance too. So, that's awesome. I love to see you have a wonderful staff. I'm such a huge fan of every one of those guys on the staff. So cool for him.
Well, absolutely. And he's earned that. You know, really, to be honest, it's been something that's been in the works with me and him for years and years, even before I got this job and even being interviewed and looking at some other jobs prior to UNC getting lucky enough to get this job. That was kind of a goal and a plan. And you know, COVID timing of the whole thing, you know, if you go back 2 years, getting hired during COVID and stuff, a lot of the timing stuff got a little bit wonky for everybody and when guys could come out and this and that. But no, it's he's certainly earned that. I'm really, really proud of him and excited for him, and really our whole staff. I mean, and we're working on some other staff realignment stuff, and so there's going to be more news to come. But I just, you know, I mean, without a great staff, it doesn't matter if you're a good coach or not, you're not going to be good. And I honestly believe I have the best staff in our league, and And it's really important for me to keep that staff going and intact and rewarding the entire staff. So really proud of him. He's done a great job. He'll continue to do a good job, but he bleeds the Bears, and I know it's a cool thing for sure. So
yeah, I love to hear it. Again, huge fan of what you do, Coach. That staff, the players, excited to meet these new guys too. So we'll be sure to reach out and get them on the program from time to time. And Coach, we'll connect here very, very soon. I hear you've been out. Are you going to get me out there golfing at some point, man? Because people keep asking me, and I'm terrible, but I might need a coach, and I think you're pretty good at that. So
well, I'm okay coaching. I'm not good at golfing. In fact, I'll tell you this. I'm enjoying it more. I have a golf lesson today, so that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Like you and I could probably like compete to the bitter end, but I would be glad to take you out and go do some golf. Do you play a little bit? I know we've talked about this before. I'd be like, will you go out and play a little bit?
I think I've played a total of 4 times in the last 5 years, Coach. So I think I'm gonna need some more coaching, to be real honest with you.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. But yeah, no, it's the weather's getting nice and our guys are finally gone, so I'm gonna try to get my game up here a little bit. I need some help from the pros too, so hopefully I'm coachable because I need to be. So I got some major flaws that I got to get ironed out here.
Well, I'm going to work on it so I can get out there for sure. That's the plan anyway. Coach, appreciate you as always, man. Again, I love the basketball camps that you're doing. Your staff, you guys are wonderful. You just keep doing it the right way.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Brady. Thanks for all that you do and for helping us to spread the word.
All right, my man. There he is.
Okay.
There he is, UNC head men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am not good at golf, Jades. I'm bad, embarrassingly bad. It's like my dance game. It's not, everybody says they're a bad dancer. I'm uncomfortably bad. Where you see me dance, you won't see me dance, first off. But if there's a rare occasion where you see me dancing, people go, ooh, what's wrong with that guy? Did he break his leg or something? He looks like he's in pain. Is he okay? Should we check on him?
That's how it is with me. I'm into.
Yeah, and that's the same with golf. It's the same with golf.
Golf is a different story for me. I love golfing, but doesn't mean I'm good at it.
I'm very tense. I think about my surroundings way too much. If I see somebody watching me, it's chaos. I'm just not good at it. I'm not good. Maybe someday. Maybe we'll get there. I need a coach. Holyoke, help me out. Holyoke says, triple threat teachings all day, every day. My biggest pet peeve, not being strong with the ball, resulting in jump balls. There you go. I got so many memories about basketball camps growing up. They were so much fun. I mean, and again, even the tough ones in high school, the memories that you bring out of those things, the camaraderie you had with your teammates, I mean, and even the ones that were weekend deals were fantastic. All right, 42 minutes after the hour, way late here. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.